Hey listeners, it's R.R. Campbell here, host of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell Writescast. I want to take a minute before you get into this episode to frame it a little, as my attitudes and opinions toward writing habits and writer's block have evolved a bit since originally recording this episode back in 2016. I won't discourage you from listening to this episode, as the approaches I describe can be beneficial to some writers, but if what I have to say here doesn't quite work for you, I encourage you to check out episode 24 on writerly routines and self-care, which I recorded as a bit of a response to this episode. That being said, I do hope you find some valuable information in this episode, episode 24, and any of the others on these or similar topics. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 2 of the R.R. Campbell Writescast, the podcast where we talk about the craft of writing and what we can do to get the most out of our time spent clacking away at the keys. Today, I do not have a guest, but I wanted to take some time to talk about a few different topics as sort of a wrap-up for 2016, as well as what we can look forward to in the new year from the blog and this podcast as well. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about writing conferences, kind of what those are all about, some differing opinions on those, and where at least I personally fall on the value for them as a learning tool for folks out there with an interest in continuing to hone their craft. Also going to be talking about some upcoming posts, what I'm looking to do with the blog in the very near future, and that ties into the third point, actually, which is what I'm hoping to achieve in 2017, getting a little bit more involvement from the rest of the blogosphere, the writersphere, the Twittersphere, etc. So I suppose we can hop right in with writing conferences. So these are something I have posted about, not explicitly as a standalone topic, but something that I've mentioned a handful of times in posts over the course of the last couple months especially. And something that stood out to me recently and what really got me thinking about doing this episode was a post on Reddit in the writing subreddit. There is a user over there who works for a literary agent. I believe he runs his own sub, actually, where he posts just his own information about what it's like to work in the industry, some tips, tricks, etc. Can be a really resourceful individual. I'll make sure to let you know who that is at the end here, or I'll put that in the actual text of this post on rrcampbellwrites.com. But essentially, he's there to offer tips, specifically as it pertains to querying agents, what it is that he has to do on the day-to-day, and how you can make sure what you're doing stands out in the slush pile, so to speak. His post this week, though, is about writing conferences. He was talking about how he thought they were a very valuable place to exchange information with other writers, to learn from what others are doing, and to get caught up on the industry. And I, generally speaking, agreed with a lot of what he had to say, just based on my own personal experience. However, there was one individual in there that offered some dissenting opinions, and so I kind of wanted to take an opportunity to explore both the pros and cons based on the arguments that were laid out to sort of tease out, maybe for you as a listener, where you might fall on that if you haven't attended a conference yet. And if you have, for sure, please feel free, and I definitely encourage you to share your experience, whether that's on Twitter, tweet at me at trollandlinguist, or you can shoot me an email at rrcampbellwrites@gmail.com, because I'm always curious. You know, everyone has a different experience when they go to something like this, and that's part of what I want to explore. For those of you that haven't attended a writing conference or who have no idea what I'm talking about, these are essentially, you know, a gathering of various individuals from the writing industry, whether they're coming from the publishing side, whether they're coming from the education side, whether they're individuals like you or me who are sitting at the keys and putting words on the page. A lot of these conferences feature, they're set up differently. It depends on the region in which you live, the conference that you attend, of course, but they're generally structured in a similar way. You'll have, for example, workshops or sessions focused that are focused on various topics. For example, you might have an hour-long session on character, how to construct authentic, living, breathing characters, really bringing them to life on your page. You might have another session that's about plot development. It could be even more focused than that broad topic of plot development and talking about getting the most out of your manuscript's most climactic moment, for example. There will be workshops on querying, working with an agent, things like web presence, how to build yourself a platform from which you can better network with other individuals and find ways into the literary world by using the following that you've built for yourself online. And then, of course, there's also sessions on publishing. Depending on the conference that you go to, you might find the publishing workshops more focused on the following sort of the traditional quote-unquote route of publication, which is through the querying process, finding yourself an agent, working with a publisher, etc. But I think really some of the more perhaps progressive conferences or the ones who are really staying on top of the direction the industry is going and evolving are also offering perhaps even separate classes, but they're also offering workshops within these conferences about the independent publishing process, whether that's through a completely independent press, whether that's through Amazon and CreateSpace, what have you. These are all just some of the various topics that can be covered at a writing conference. So of course, you hear something like that, and you say, wow, that actually sounds, those are all things I want to learn more about. If you weren't interested in learning about those things, you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You probably wouldn't be hopping on the blog and reading that if that's something that you do, which I encourage you to do. You wouldn't be hanging out on Twitter following the Am Writing, the Am Reading, the Am Editing, the Writer's Life hashtag. So this is something you're interested in. I personally think that these are a really great thing. They're a great opportunity, aside from all these workshops and classes, to meet other people, to find a critique group. It was through a writing conference back in, 2012 that I actually found the critique group I've been a part of for over 4 years now, which has been fundamental in my development as a writer. And, I'm forever grateful for the fact that an individual actually was my guest on episode one, Dan Skiro, who said at one point after a session wrapped up that he was part of a group looking for other writers. They had some openings and they were looking to grow the size of their critique group. And I spoke with him, got into that group, and that's been really great for me. And I encourage everyone who's interested in honing their craft to find a network of writers with which they can share their current material. But aside from that, aside from being a great opportunity to network with other people, some of these conferences even have opportunities to pitch to agents. Now, that's not always the case. For example, I attended a conference put on by the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Continuing Studies Department about a month or so ago, and that one did not have an opportunity to pitch to agents, but it was still very valuable for a lot of these sorts of workshops that I mentioned above, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But for example, in March, the university will be putting on another conference, and that one will have an opportunity to pitch to agents. Now, generally how that works is you pay an extra fee on top of what it is you paid to be in the conference. It could be $10, could be $20. It really depends on the conference and where it's located and the resources that they have available. But you have an opportunity to sit down with a literary agent and pitch them your book, generally for 10 minutes. And if by the time it is done, it goes well and the agent is interested in learning more about you or your book, they'll ask for whether it's the first chapter, the first three chapters. They might ask for 50 pages. If you're extremely lucky, or you just have a fantastic pitch, they might ask for the full version of your manuscript, which is always a really encouraging thing to hear. And that's actually something that I've written about in previous posts. I'll put up a link to that on the blog. But, that's always an option there too. So, as you can probably tell, I've hyped up this whole writing conference thing a lot, but there are, of course, downsides to it as well. You know, number one, as I mentioned, for example, if you want to get involved in pitching to an agent, there is a cost associated with that. And there's also a cost associated with being part of these conferences in general. Depending on the region that you're attending a conference in, depending on who puts it on, you're going to be looking to spend a few hundred bucks on attending one of these. Fortunately, in my opinion, what the University of Wisconsin offers through its programs are, it's very affordable relative to what you get back. I believe I paid something like $140, $150 for the conference last month, and I think it's a little bit more for the one coming up in March because that's a multiple day thing. I believe it runs from a Thursday through a Sunday or something like that, whereas the one I attended a month ago was mostly on one day. But there's obviously an investment associated with that, and that can definitely be a downside for some people. One of the other dissenting opinions that I saw floating around on Reddit in this post that got me thinking about all this was that one individual in particular cited that, in his opinion, these sorts of conferences are only for genre writers. In his mind, based on his experience, he felt that it was really valuable to go to these conferences. If you were an individual writing in one of the high-selling paperback genres, like your thriller, for example, if you're a writer who wants to sit there and try to write to shape the mold of what the industry is looking for right now or the direction the industry is going in. And I thought that was a really interesting take on what you can get at a conference, because though I do agree that a writing conference is a fantastic place to go and get a feel for where the industry is at, there are often sessions on, you know, what's hot right now, and naturally over the course of your sessions, as the individuals presenting them, whether they're authors or publishers or agents themselves, they're going to be talking about books that are in the literary zeitgeist right now and what it is that makes them unique and special. So you're going to get some bleeding over of getting a feel for what agents and readers are looking for right now. But to the point of this individual on Reddit who felt as though the main purpose of going to a conference was simply to figure out what's hot so you can write that and get a foot in the door, I actually took a little bit of umbrage with that, because in my experience at least, I have been told the opposite at conferences, where you should not sit down at your keyboard and say, what can I write that's going to guarantee I get published? Because by the time you write that book, by the time you get it edited, by the time you query, guess what? The industry might have moved on, and you're going to be the person that's writing the next, I don't know, it's going to be the, what was the thing that just came through? It's going to be the vampire stuff, right? You know, we had the Twilight series. How many spinoffs of that did we see? How much more vampire literature came on the back end of that? Granted, if you're in the right place at the right time, you might be able to ride that wave out. But if you read Twilight after it's been out for a year and say, boy, oh boy, I'm going to sit down and write the next hot new vampire novel, chances are by the time you finish it and run it through the entire process, everyone's going to have moved on from vampires. Thank God. But everyone will have probably moved on, and you're going to be left in the dust with a book that is just past its time. Which is why I had to disagree with this critique of using a conference to get a feel for what's in the industry and then take what you're writing and shape it to that. I think it's really interesting to know where the industry's at, but the thing that I always found really encouraging was the folks that were at least giving the sessions I've attended saying, no, don't sit here, don't try and outline a book, do not try and set yourself up in such a way that you're writing for what's hot right now. You're never going to catch up. If that's what you want to write, though, if writing that vampire book, if writing that whatever it's going to be is what is in your mind, if that's what's going to keep you writing right now because the well of other ideas is dry, do it. Sit down and write that book. But if you're coming into it with the idea of, well, this is what's going to get me published, I think that that's sort of, for me personally, missing the mark in what this is really all about. But anyway, I mean, every conference is going to be different. I'm sure that you find conferences where there is an emphasis on, all right, guys, this is what's hot right now. Let's sit down and talk about what we can do to write in this vein so that everyone can sit around and make a modest sum of money. I don't know. But in my experience, I have not found that to be the case. And along those lines, I mean, bringing it back to that these conferences are only for quote-unquote genre writers, I found at the conferences that I've attended over the course of the last few years that many of them, they cover things like nonfiction, they cover things like memoir, they will branch off and talk about, at times, generally they are genre-focused, but they will break off and talk about, you know, if you are writing literary fiction, if you are writing something that's more about character change than it is about plot, they'll spend a few minutes talking about how these are the exceptions to the quote-unquote rules that are being professed in these sessions. I think ultimately it really comes down to whether you're at a conference or whether you're in a writer's group, whether you've got a friend who critiques your work. It all depends on how you apply what you learn. You have to keep in mind that there is no one expert on all of this stuff. Everyone, including myself, can only speak to their own personal experience, and it's really important that anything when it comes to the writing world be taken into account with that in mind. Otherwise, you're just going to constantly be writing. You're going to be writing for the people that are around you. You're going to be writing for the people that have your ear in that moment. And I don't think that allows us to properly develop as individuals. You know, writing is a very solitary thing, and I think we need that time. We need that solitude. We need that separation from the world once in a while, to really be inside our own head and know that what we're writing is true to our most, I don't want to say true again because I just said that, but our most true selves. And that's what I think is important, all in all. Another criticism that this individual had about writing conferences in general actually had to do with pitching to agents. They, it sounds, had the opportunity to do this at a conference they attended at some point in the past. And they said that they, quote, never felt like more of a sucker when pitching to an agent. Now, granted, I am sure that, again, we were just talking about the very diverse set of experiences that an individual can have when attending a conference like this. I'm sure that there are agents, maybe, I have not met one yet, but there may be agents who are interested in showing up at these conferences. They sit through a bunch of pitches and they just collect whatever cash they collect for it. But I really don't think that is the case. And let me tell you why. If you are an agent and you have clients that you are trying to represent, you have clients that you're trying to work with, you have publishers that you are trying to convince to take on this work that you're putting in on behalf of your clients, why would you spend an entire day sitting in a room just to collect cash from writers who are sincerely interested in building a relationship with you? That, to me, does not make a whole lot of sense. In my experience pitching to agents, I've written about this a little bit on the blog, but I had a fantastic time. I think it really depends on, one, are you making sure that the agents you choose to pitch to are actually interested in your work? Now, that being said, I can see how an individual might say, well, how am I supposed to know what they're interested in? That's the whole point of going to pitch to them. You're right. But generally speaking, these conferences will provide examples of, well, this particular writer, they are interested in sci-fi, or they're interested in young adult, or they're interested in new adult. They might even have a list of things that they are not interested in. So if you have an agent that you think, you know, oh, they've looked friendly in their picture, I really want to pitch to them. Let's say you've written some very high concept fantasy, and on this agent's list of things they are not interested in, they specifically list high concept fantasy, they're probably not a good choice for you to pitch to. That's one way to really make yourself feel like a sucker, but you're really doing it to yourself. You have to do research on these folks, whether a conference provides what an agent is interested in or not. Any of these reputable agents, they're going to have a list of that on their website. You can look them up by name. A real good agent is going to be interested. If they're accepting queries at the time, if they're looking for new clients, they're going to be out there trying to make it known what they're looking for. They have every reason in the world to make sure that the manuscripts or the queries that are hitting their desk or the desks of their interns are actually in line with what it is they are looking to represent. So you have to do your research before going into these pitches. Otherwise, sure, you might leave it feeling like a sucker because you weren't well prepared. And aside from just knowing the genre, you need to have a really tight pitch. A lot of times you only get 8 to 10 minutes to sit down and convince someone that your book is something that they should believe in. You spend hours and hours and days, literal days of your life, crafting a book, and you have to be able to boil it down into 8 to 10 minutes of the real meat of the story. You have to walk them through it from logline to summary and just hope that you can stimulate a conversation. Try to make it into a conversation about your book to get them to ask questions. If an agent is asking questions about your character, if they're asking questions about the plot points, if they're asking questions about the world that you have set this story in, you're on the right track. Just remember to smile. Remember to be pleasant. Be your authentic self, because it's a lot too about whether or not an agent feels there's going to be a good bond between themselves and you as a writer. You have to enjoy the people you work with, of course. So you just have to come in, be prepared, and be ready to go. If you can do that, if you show up and you feel like you're prepared, if you feel like you're ready to represent your work well, and you're making sure you're pitching to an agent that's interested in your genre, there's no way you can leave that 8 to 10 minute session feeling like a sucker, because you did everything that you could. You stayed true to the work that you had in front of you, the work that you believe in, the work that you want to continue to develop. And that's all you can ask for. Maybe it just wasn't right for that agent. Maybe they didn't feel like it clicked. Maybe you didn't feel like it clicked. They could have been the most interested person in the world, but if you don't feel like that's an individual with which you can form a professional relationship, maybe they're not for you, and that's fine. There are other, you know, quote unquote, here we are, there are other fish in the sea. It's a relationship like anything else, and it's important that you give yourself the ability to know all of these things going into that sort of environment. Moving past the pitch criticism, one of the other things, and this is where I actually give this dissenting individual some credit, is he talks about how a lot of the people that attend writing conferences are individuals with really fantastic ideas and really vivid imaginations, but they have quote-unquote crippling writer's block. Now, I thought, before I went on to see that this point was clarified later in their post, I thought this is a really interesting point because in my mind, a lot of what you actually see floating around on Reddit, and this is just my opinion, in particularly just the writing sub, is a lot of individuals who have these great ideas. They have really cool ideas, but they talk about things like writer's block and how it's holding them back and how it's really just, I don't know, the parallel between what this individual was describing about writing conferences as compared to what I often see in the very sub in which this was posted, was really just, I mean, it was almost too perfect. And it got me thinking then too about, well, yeah, you do go to these conferences and you do, there's always a that guy. There's always a couple of that guys. And this is true. You know this. This is true whether you are at a writer's conference. It's true whether you are at work. It's true or was true when you were in school. There's those that guys. They're the ones that come to the conference and they just independently publish their book and they walk up to every person possible and they just try to put the book in your hands and get you to purchase it from them in cash at that time. Or they're just there because they finished writing their first book and they want to learn, which is great. They're at the conference to learn. But because they've finished a book, they feel as though they know the things. They're the guy that knows the things. And that's so frustrating too, because no one knows everything. No one knows everything in the writing world. No one knows everything in physics. No one knows everything in linguistics. No one knows everything in anything. You got to come to it with an open mind and a sense of humility. So don't be a that guy if you do go to one of these conferences. Don't be a that guy. But if you are an individual who's coming to this and you think you've got a great idea, you're hoping to use this conference as a way to get over your writer's block, think about your writer's block this way. And this might not be the most popular opinion about writer's block, but I feel like I have to say it because it is something that I try to keep in mind whenever I find myself frustrated and I find my fingers frozen and I find my brain just not, the gears aren't turning. What I tell myself is that writer's block is not really writer's block. It's non-writer's block. It's that non-writing part of you. It's this thing in your head that's worried about grammar and punctuation and character and plot and who's going to read it and whether it's any good and on and on and on. And those are the parts of your brain. Those are the parts of you that are never going to write. Those are the parts of you that it's important to turn on at the right times. Those are the parts of you that it's important to turn on when you're outlining, when you're getting yourself set up, when you're visualizing the scene that you're about to write. That's the part it's important to have turned on when you're doing research or reading a blog or listening to a podcast so that you can internalize that information and use it when you're actually sitting down to write. But that's non-writer's block. That's any of that that's getting in the way of you sitting down and writing is non-writer's block. It's a block, for sure, but there's one, just the easiest way to overcome it. Easiest way to overcome it. Guys, just write. Just write. Who cares? No, it doesn't matter. No one's going to read the first words you're putting down on the page unless for some ungodly reason you have your screen being broadcasted in a large lecture hall somewhere where hundreds of people are going to watch you type live. Don't know why you would do that, but let's be real here. You need to give yourself permission to suck. I'm not the first person to say that. I wish I knew who was. I'd like to give them some credit. But you have to give yourself permission to suck. Just keep your fingers moving. Keep them moving. If you have the idea, all you got to do is just not stop writing. Write. That's all you gotta do. Make sure your keyboard is clicking away. Make sure that it's making noise. Make sure you're hitting space and return. Put words on the page. That's how you overcome writer's block. Because if you force yourself to do it within the bounds of the story you're trying to tell. If you force yourself to do it, it only gets easier. And when it gets easier, it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it is just your day-to-day life. Writing is part of your day-to-day life. So if you are an individual who has a fantastic idea and you go to one of these conferences and you're like, wow, you're right, there's a lot of people around here that are, like this commenter said, they're more interested in talking about how terrible writer's block is than going and hanging out at the hotel bar so they can get drunk, because that's what writers do, right? Ha ha. Borrowing from the right, from this individual's comment when I say that. But seriously, guys, don't be those people, because those people aren't actually writing. They're not actually writing. And the only thing you have to do to be a writer is write. So you got to be able to put on some blinders. You got to be able to close the door. You got to be able to turn off the TV, put down the book for a minute. I know reading is a huge thing. It's very important. It's essential to what we do. But tune it all out. It's you. It's the screen. It's your fingers on the keys. Just keep them moving. Keep them moving. And someone might say, of course, yeah, that's really easy to do if I have an idea for writing, if I have a thought in my head of the story that I want to tell. Well, I mean, yeah, that can be tough. It's hard to come up with new material. It's hard to come up with something that you can feel passionate enough about to invest the time in sitting down to write. But if you're struggling with that sort of thing, there are plenty of places on the internet, for example, where you can find a writing prompt generator or just something to get your mind thinking in the right direction about something new that you can work on. Now, going back to writing prompt generators, I have to give a little bit of a plug here. I did put out a writing prompt generator on Sunday, December 11th. You can find that on rrcampbellwrites.com. The tab's at the top of the page there. It's listed as a logline generator because it's structured like a logline would be. But the way that it works is you just refresh the page and it should pull in a new writing prompt for you based on some parameters that I've set up actually in a Google spreadsheet that I'm hosting over on Google Sheets. If for some reason when you're refreshing it on the page at rrcampbellwrites.com, if it's not working for you, I do provide a link. You can hop right into the spreadsheet. It's read only, but if you hit refresh, you'll constantly get new prompts for you there. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to get some stuff that probably works out okay. Sometimes you're going to get a lot of nonsense because it's about, I've got, I don't know, hundreds of variables plugged into that for character, for their goal, for the consequences of them failing to meet that goal, etc. But once in a while, you might find some stuff that says, hey, all of this doesn't quite come together, but a couple lines of this do. Take that. Run with it. Write a short story. Do whatever. I don't care. That's your thing. It's going to be your story. You can give the same writing prompt to 100 individuals and ask them to write a story about it, and you're going to get 100 different stories. So don't feel like it's something you can't use to get yourself thinking in the right direction. I encourage you to do it, and that's why it's there. If, for, you know, some reason, that actual writing prompt generator isn't doing it for you, there is a place on Reddit that I do recommend checking out. It is the Writing Prompts subreddit. There's some really good stuff in there once in a while. In fact, I think, and this is just occurring to me now, I didn't think about this before the podcast, but I do believe that out of one of the writing prompts that showed up on there, there was a independent short film recently produced, and I think it had H. John Benjamin in it, I believe. And the premise for it was that a man arrives in heaven only to discover that Satan conquered it long ago. And that was sort of the prompt. And the direction that this movie takes it, I'm going to have to look this up now. If I can't find it as I'm doing a quick search, I'll definitely post it in the blog post associated with this podcast. But let's see. So it's H. John Benjamin. We're talking about heaven, hell, writing, prompt, Reddit. Redditor's story turned into short film starring H. John Benjamin. Here it is, November 12, 2015. So the actual short film is called Limbo. So there you go, Limbo. Definitely adult themed, so keep that in mind. If you're a youngin' listening to this podcast, I don't know, get your parents' permission or something, I don't know. But yeah, definitely check that out, because it's an example of the sort of thing that can come out of a writing prompt in a place like Reddit, and it's actually a really cool short. I really liked it. I like H. John Benjamin. So if you're into any of those things, I certainly encourage you to get on board and check that out. But, you know, writing prompts can come from anywhere. If Reddit doesn't do it for you, if the writing prompt generator I've created doesn't do it for you, just think about a small detail in your day-to-day life and use that to get a story started, I recently wrote a short story called Onion Hands. I was chopping an onion in the kitchen, and the smell of it, very pungent, anyone that's cut an onion knows how this goes, it just triggered a memory for me of a person that used to be in my life but no longer is. And I started asking myself, okay, well, what is it about this particular smell that made me think of that person? And I just went with it. I sat down once I finished cutting the onion and washing my hands. I didn't want onion juice all over the keyboard. I sat down, cranked out 2,000 words, bing, bang, boom, done. You know what? No one's gonna read it. I just kept writing. I gave myself permission to suck. But it was a nice little thing by the time it was done. It was nice to explore it, and I was glad to have written it, even if it's something that nothing ever comes of. But it's little things like that. It can be onion hands. It can be, I don't know, the way that light reflects off the pencil in my hand. What do I see in that reflection? Oh, maybe a story starts with someone seeing something happening in a reflection over their shoulder because they saw it in, I don't know, the reflection of the light in the pencil. Who knows? You see random things like that. Just let your brain do the work for you, and then don't let your fingers stop moving once you have a blank page in front of you. If you can't make yourself write, if you can't make yourself sit down and hammer it out, you might end up on that same path as some of these folks that show up at the conference who have the ideas. They have the ideas all day, but they just don't write because they're letting their non-writer's block interfere with their writing ability and what it is that they're supposed to be doing to do the work they need to do to get their stories out there. And I think pulling all that back in to this idea of a conference, I think that realistically, I mentioned this earlier, but you are going to get out of a conference what you put into a conference. It's just like your writing. How are you going to apply what you learn? How are you going to prepare in advance for this conference? Are you going to take a look at the sessions being offered and decide which ones to attend? Are you going to put the work into making sure you do research on the agent or agents that you're going to pitch to? If you do these things, it's just like in writing. If you do your research in advance, if you set yourself up with a nice outline, if you trust your outline, if you trust yourself, if you give yourself permission to suck, everything will be okay, but you gotta do the work. It's fun, but you gotta do the work too. Oh, man, it's exhausting. I love it, though. This is good stuff to talk about. I get hyped. But speaking of all of this, though, and this is an example of what you can get out of a conference if you prepare for it, the last writing conference I went to actually gave me a lot of the ideas, a lot of the fodder that I now have for the R.R. Campbell Writes blog. And that includes my most recent Loglines post, which you can find on the site under the Blogs tab. And from that Loglines post came the Loglines/Writing Prompt Generator. Not only those things, the log line post, etc., but some of the other things you've seen recently about keeping tension on the page, about setting up every one of your scenes with that scene, goal, conflict, resolution, cliffhanger, rhythm, those sorts of things all came out of that conference. Whether it was some of that stuff I pulled heavily from some of the sessions I attended, and when I did, I definitely gave a shout out to the folks that got my brain thinking that way, but I was also able to employ what I learned there and find ways that it worked for me. Which actually brings me into the second overall point of wanting to do this podcast today, which was talking about some of those upcoming posts. The conference that I attended most recently was the Weekend with Your Novel conference, which covered a lot of the broad topics I mentioned at the top of this podcast. And I've decided what I think I'm going to do going forward here with the blog is using the Loglines post as sort of a starting point. I'm going to kind of walk through what my process is/was in getting the setup prepared for the novel I plan on writing when I finish my current work in progress. So that being said, we've talked about log lines, so I believe, you know, we're going to jump in next to characters, how to flesh them out, how to make them authentic, why it's important to get to know every one of your characters so well before you sit down to write them. We're going to hop into things like plot points from there. We'll talk about writing a general summary, and then we'll hop into writing a chapter by chapter outline to guide you through the process of writing. So you never open a new chapter, you never open a new page and say, dang it, where am I now? What happens next? I think I know what needs to happen here, but I just, and then you forget you write and you forget a major component that you were supposed to include in this chapter. That's not for me. I prefer, I'm not a pants person. I call them pants people because they write by the seat of their pants. I am not a pants person. I am an outfit person. I like to have my outfit, quote unquote, you know, picked out as a matter of expression. I like to have my outfit picked out before I sit down to write. Some individuals find that sort of structure to be crippling. You know, I'm not a believer in once you have your outline, you're stuck with it sort of thing. I think it's important to trust your outline. It's important to adhere to the direction you've created for yourself when you created a log line and got your outline together. But I think you need to leave yourself that breathing room. You need to leave yourself room for innovation as well. So I'm not a purely pants guy. I'm definitely not a pants guy. And I'm not a hardcore outfit guy. I believe that, you know, if you're walking down the street in your cool outfit and you see something you want to add to it, I don't know, maybe you want to throw a scarf on all of a sudden, hop in a store, buy a scarf, throw it on, whatever, see where it takes you. But I'm going to definitely be taking more of an outfit approach rather than a pants approach to getting the next several posts together over the course of the next few months so that we can, hopefully by the time all is said and done, use those posts as a way to provide a foundation for you to write your next novel. That would make me, I would be yippee-skippy happy if I knew that someone out there was able to take those posts, which I will be creating, pulling from a lot of what I've learned at different conferences, but to use those posts and in combination with that conference material plus how I've made them work for me to write your own novel, that would make my day. If that's something that you think you're going to do, if you end up following this, if this is something that you want to roll with, please let me know. Please let me know what works for you. Please let me know what doesn't. I'm just really curious to know about other people's, what their process is like and what it is that works best for them. And just to know that I was able to create something that got someone thinking in the right or even the wrong direction. Hey, if I lead you down the wrong path and you hate it, tell me. That's worth knowing too, because that's something that's worth examining for myself. I would love to hear from you. So hit me up on Twitter, shoot me an email at rrcampbellwrites@gmail.com. Whatever you want to do, throw a brick through my window. Please don't throw a brick through my window. Get my attention, but let me know. I would really love to hear from you. So knowing that that's the direction we're going to be headed with the blog is all good and well, but I did want to talk also before I wrap up here about what I'm looking to do with this podcast in 2017. My goal with the podcast aspect of what I'm looking to do is to definitely talk about writing tips. It's to definitely talk about improving our craft. It's definitely to talk about the writing experience as a whole. But I think I'd like to work on getting one podcast out a month that is very similar to episode one of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast, which was sitting down with, or joining me by phone, joining me by Skype, whatever it may be, but sitting down with an author of fiction, preferably, also preferably one that is published. And that doesn't, I don't mean that you have to be traditionally published. I don't mean you need to be exclusively indie published. I don't even mean that it needs to be just a novel. If you're a publisher, if you're an author of short stories and you've had your work featured in some, whether it's a literary journal or a magazine or even just a digital platform of some kind, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for you to reach out to me, because if I have an opportunity to read some of your work, if it gets my mind thinking about the writing process, if there's something I really appreciate about what you do, I would love to have you on this podcast. And I'm serious about that, because I think that though writing itself is a very solitary thing, one of the things I even mentioned is earlier on is that writing can also be a great world in which to network with other individuals and learn from people. And one of the ways we do that is by having frank and very direct conversations about our process and about what it is that we do well and what we think we can improve on. So I would love to have the opportunity to interview you. I'd love to have the opportunity to talk about your work. I'd love to have the opportunity to get a good dialogue going between the two of us so that others on the internet have an opportunity to engage with us. So if this is something that you sound interested in, I absolutely encourage you to reach out to me. Like I said, hoping to do maybe a podcast a month, just because that's the time I think I'll have available to commit to it. Love to do one a month and have you be a part of it. So I'm looking for about 12 or so individuals that I can work with in 2017. If you're interested in doing this, please tweet at me, or alternatively, I've mentioned the email address a couple times, but I'll leave it for you here again. It's rrcampbellwrites@gmail.com. Reach out to me through either platform. I definitely check Twitter more than I check that particular email address. but I would really like to hear from you. I'd like to sit down. I'd like to read your work. I'd like to know about your process. I'd love to have you on so we can spend an hour talking about what's important in the writing world, what we do to hone our craft, and what it is that we can do to continue to develop as individuals and remain open-minded to other processes, other genres, what have you. Let's do it. That would be really fantastic, I think. So please reach out, and thanks as always for listening. This has been, I don't know, I felt like it was nice to at least get some of these things off my chest. I hope it gives you some guidance as it pertains to what you think you would like to get out of a writer's conference. If you've attended one in the past and you've got some feedback on this podcast or the conference you attended, let me know. You've got my Twitter handle, you've got my email address. If you've got some thoughts on what you think it would be cool to feature on the blog as part of the, I don't know what I'm going to call it yet, but the Let's Write Together series of posts, definitely hit me up on Twitter or by email as well. And if you're interested in being an individual featured on this podcast in 2017, definitely reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. Again, you can reach me at rrcampbellwrites@gmail.com. And as always, write on and